Live. Oh my God, we got so much to talk about on Angley Live. Today is Saturday, and I believe it is April 22nd, man. But don't cite me on that. You know what? On the weekends, I try not to pay attention to time and dates or anything, man. During the week, that's the work life. Weekend is play. So let's play. I'm going to talk about France, Paris attack, how people don't feel safe. Over 80 people in France say they don't feel safe anywhere. This is a country that I love, France, and I love Paris. You know, I think Paris is one of the greatest cities that I've ever seen. And to think that people, you know, you can't enjoy a fireworks show without thinking that some nut is going to take a truck and drive over you and your family. You know, you can't go to a concert thinking some nut is going to come in, or a bunch of nuts with guns, and try to kill you. You know, there's more and more and more of it going on. So I like to think, what are the lessons that we learned from France, lead the world? You know, America, Russia, China, because all of us have problems with terrorism on different levels, right? So it really behooves all of these countries to get together and thwart terrorism, which is kind of what's going on now, you know. As soon as this political stance and posturing crap is over, I think in the long run, these countries with the United States are all going to get together and say, okay, we're going to take care of this, you know, best we can. Anyway, in France, they opened up their borders with the European Union. They gave control of the borders over to the European Union. Now, people can cross the border with open border. You don't need even to show any ID, right? You can just cross the border, basically, you know? You know, I mean, maybe at some point they want you to show some ID. Or you know what? It's like you can't make the EU one country, because there's too many different opinions and cultures and attitudes, you know, that have developed over all these years. So it's not like the United States that have all these different states. You know, you're talking about France and Italy, Germany, countries that are just inherently different from one another, you know. And many great people in the past had said that it's an impossible dream, the EU, you will not have a utopian world. And they're experiencing that, but they're experiencing that because of radical Islam, or Islam, right? I mean, the term radical, I have a huge problem with, which I say it all the time, even though I use it from time to time. But I don't want to seem like I'm down on everybody who celebrates a religion, because that's wrong too. You know, it's not their fault in a way, right? If people have fallen into any kind of trap. And you're not going to change someone's belief overnight. But the people in Islam, the ones who don't want to kill anyone, those people need to stand up and come forward. And not in some little group of a handful of people. I mean as a massive movement to fight this terrorism or people killing in the name of Islam. They should be offended because these others are killing in the name of Islam. But how sad for France. You know, how sad. And we learned in France that they have some of the toughest gun laws in the world, right? Guns are banned in France. You're not going to a gun store in France and picking up a gun. But this guy who attacked the other day had an AK-47. You know? A fully automatic AK-47. So I know he didn't go down to his local cheese shop and get a fully automatic AK-47. So I always said, you know, when Barack Obama was in and all that gun law talk was going on, right, people trying to ban the guns, ban the guns from honest people, you know? Like, take the guns away from responsible people. There's many reasons why you want your citizens having guns. Because you want to be able, let's say you're invaded by somebody, you want to be able to know that your citizens have weapons they can use to fight off that type of invasion. So if you look at Norway gives guns to its citizens, trains them in its use, and once a year they get together for a shooting event. And these guns are even passed down to their families. And then they do this with great pride. A gun's not a dirty word in Norway, right? But here in the States, there was a movement, and it's still out there, that, you know, that liberal agenda, it's not going to go away. It's still out there. It still exists. You know, it's just that they don't have somebody in there right now to push their agenda. They got Trump, who's definitely not going to ban guns, you know? But the reality beyond banning guns is that if you make guns illegal, there will still be illegal guns. And if you're a criminal, you're not going to care about how many bullets you have in your magazine. You're not going to care about, oh, is this legal or not legal? If you are a criminal and you're going to commit crime, all of that is nothing to you. Those laws mean nothing to you. And you're also not going to go to a store and buy a gun and fill out paperwork. You're going to go into the street and buy a gun, right? No paperwork. They can get a gun now, cheap, on the street. With no paperwork, you have to spend a lot to get a gun, jump through all the fire hoops, fill out all the paperwork, and then have to wait to get that gun in most cases, right? So Barack Obama scared people so much that the gun sales were out of control during his administration. They said he was the best gun salesman on the planet. So, in France, you see people just beside themselves. Now, they start voting their election. The vote takes a couple of weeks. So, the one person that comes forward is Marine Le Pen. Now, she is conservative. Her father was a big staunch politician back in the day, conservative, right? She wants to take control of France's borders. She wants to have a Frexit, exiting the European Union. Italy's already talking about exiting the European Union, you know? So you have a lot of countries that are just done. They're done. The EU has done nothing for them. It's dragging them down because the countries that do well end up supporting the countries that don't do well, you know? And it's just not fair to the ones that have a strong economy to support those other countries. Those other countries need to figure out what they can do best to generate their economy, right? To generate their funds. So a lot of this, believe it or not, has to do with the World Trade Organization, which controls trade around the world, the WTO, and then you have the International Monetary Fund, who lends money to countries that they know it can't pay them back, and the country's default, then the IMF are making rules with the WTO for those countries. So let's say Jamaica, the country Jamaica, which took a couple of loans from the IMF, didn't pay it back. Now the IMF moves the WTO in, and to make a long story short, Jamaican farmers can't sell their produce on the open market because they don't produce enough to sell. And I believe that ceiling was to hit was 20,000 a year of produce. You know, for your average little Jamaican farmer selling melons and whatever, they can't hit that mark, right? So then the military and the police in Jamaica go around smashing people's produce, destroying the produce they have on the side of the road that they're trying to sell to make some money. So this is the littlest person getting hurt from the biggest entity. The IMF and the WTO does not see where it matters that those guys' melons are getting smashed by the military because they don't care. They want to control. The World Trade Organization and the IMF are control freaks, man. So, I mean, we could cover this subject in 10 shows about the WTO and all the evils and the ills of the world. But I'm just saying, if you have France exit the European Union, and we already know that England left, and you have Italy looking at leaving, this whole migrant crisis is a huge problem. If Trump had it his way, he would get rid of Assad. All those people would be able to go back to Syria, and there would be no crisis. right? But that's not the way it's going down. And Assad's time, the clock is ticking on him. It's ticking on Kim Jong-un. Kim Jong-un is a weird character, man. I firmly believe that he's a psychopath. He actually fits all the 19 points of a psychopath, you know? And so is Hillary Clinton, I know. But maybe a lot of us. But he really is off the wall. And, you know, most of us psychopaths don't have nuclear missiles and nuclear weapons. He does, which makes his neighbors nervous, which makes the United States nervous and other people around the world. So because of all these daily threats, and then they're going to test another bomb, the anniversary of the formation of the army in North Korea is coming up next week. So usually for that anniversary, they do something military to celebrate. They think they're going to blow off this bomb. You know, he tried launching a missile for his grandfather's birthday. That didn't work. It went up and exploded. And then knowing that he's got, you know, on the last show, I talked about all the submarines that are missing. He's got over 50 submarines that are missing that they can't find, right? They don't know what happened to them. And a lot of people in the know are saying he's retrofitting them for nuclear weapons, you know? So then here's the people, these analysts. I love these analysts on the news. You know, you flip around these channels, and they're so worthless, man. It's not even worth the entertainment value listening to these people, like, that are just so full of crap, you know, CNN and Fox and all of them. I think all of them, you know. And I want to talk about Bill O'Reilly, too. But you listen to these people, they're like, well, you know, he doesn't have a missile strong enough. You know, more powerful enough. He doesn't have an ICBM, you know, multiple body missile that's sophisticated and whatever. It's got different engines as opposed to a solid fuel rocket or that type of thing. You know, so he's got short range missiles, but they don't know if he's got warheads that are small enough to fit on those missiles. They don't know about the ICBM technology that he may have. So it's interesting to hear all these people talk about what they don't know. This is the Pentagon. Then you hear the news saying, well, he doesn't have a missile that can reach the United States. It doesn't matter. You know, just North Korea and Japan, right? All that. But he can't. He doesn't have a missile that can get halfway to Hawaii, right? So people in Hawaii are freaked out. They're so freaked out in Hawaii, they're demanding for extra funding. So they could build more bunkers and then, I guess, renovate the fallout shelters that they used to have back in the day, which they've been falling in disarray because they haven't needed them, and they defunded them 20 years ago, all that, right? So Hawaii's freaked out. But now let's talk like a real analyst. Now, you know that 50 submarines are missing, and these are diesel subs. That, you know, the military doesn't listen for diesel subs necessarily, unless they really think there's a threat. But to spend that amount of time listening for something like that when there's so much ship traffic that's also diesel, it's kind of hard to disseminate one from another, you know? Anyway, knowing that there's 50 of these suckers missing, knowing that this guy's got nuclear weapons, warheads, big ones, using plutonium, don't you think that he could take one of those subs and put a warhead on it and ship it off outside of L.A. or outside of New York or any city and blow that sucker up, surface, and blow the weapon up? You know, with nuclear warheads, you don't have to be so exact. You know what I mean? So that's a possibility. And this is why you need to take a madman like that out. Because eventually, he will have those long-range missiles. He's going through trial and error. Eventually, he will be able to affect people. So Russia and China massed on this border. You know? The Russians, and Putin says that they feel threatened by Kim Jong-un. The Russians who live in that region feel threatened by him. That is going to be some kind of nuke attack. China feels threatened by them. So China's got 175,000 plus soldiers and tanks on the North Korean border right now. And at the same time, Russia has mobilized troops and tanks. So Kim Jong-un is sitting down there. You have China bearing down on you. You have, and they're not there to help him, by the way. And anybody out there thinks that Russia and China are going to help this dude, you're wrong. They're going to secure their interests. And Russia and China does not want North Korea and South Korea to unite, because then basically we, the NATO, is going to be on the Russian and Chinese border. So it's in their best interest to get rid of Kim Jong-un, right? And put somebody else in who is not going to be the hardliner. Believe it or not, he's got a half-sister that's looking at taking over. And like the half-brother that he had assassinated, because the half-brother was looking at taking over and dealing and having more of a economic system like China has, the sister is also interested in doing the same thing. So it's not too far-fetched to see China getting in there and doing a regime change and Russia helping. But at the same time, we have an armada that's basically there and or on the way. We have bombers in Guam. We've got nuclear submarines all over there that can annihilate the whole damn place. So it's like this dude is sitting there like just like this nut, picking his nose and screaming, I'm going to nuke you every day. And then people are like, you know, we're about to destroy you. You know what I mean? It's for real. It's not some joke. But that guy's like always laughing. He's assassinated so many people. I mean, he assassinated these people not long ago with anti-aircraft guns, you know? I mean, like, executed in public, anti-aircraft guns. He used a flamethrower to execute people in public. The guy is a sick, twisted, screwed-up maniac. And you know what makes him really crazy? The fact that he hasn't killed his barber yet. You know what I mean? I think that's the most telling thing. You want earmarks of a psychopath. And he looks in the mirror. He just must have a goddamn bloated sense of self-objectification. You know? I mean, maybe that's a good thing. I think we all criticize ourselves too much. He's the head cheese. But always, there's a group of people always behind a guy like that. And that group of people are the most dangerous people. The true kingmakers are the ones who are behind the king. They have the true power. The true power lies behind the throne. So, yeah, he inherited the thing from his father, you know, and his father inherited from the grandfather. That's great. But much like the Queen of England and other people who take power like that, there's a group behind them that rules everything. So, but that group, I think, is going to be the one who's going to have to affect the regime change, right? Because they don't want this guy forcing an attack. The last thing they want is for us to go in there, or China. Trump is pretty certain that China's going to do it. He speaks with pretty hardcore certainty that China is going to take care of this problem. He got cozy with Xi Jinping. Xi Jinping is trying to, you know, purge his government of Jiang Zemin's administration, his people, which are laced, you know, through the government, very hardcore regime. And I think that Xi Jinping needs to just chill. And I think that he knows what he needs to do, you know? He needs to come off as somebody who doesn't look like a monster. And China's my specialty. I know China intimately, you know. I know the way the whole thing works, how they think, the whole bit. Communism and not. And I've said for many years that China is a sleeping dragon. And this communism, that dragon's going to wake up and shrug off that communism like a bad case of fleas. And then you'll see the economy rise. You'll see the people prosper. It'll be a better nation for it. But, man, do they have stuff to work on. And I guess, you know, nothing happens in a day. Look at Russia. You got Putin in there. I'll ask you this. If you think that Putin wasn't there, do you think that Russia would have gone back to communism? I mean, sometimes you need a leader who's a bit crazy and really powerful, but powerful in essence of confidence in themselves. That, and you know, for a long time I say on the show, we need a president that knows, not one who's going to listen to other people tell him what to do, not some puppet, and not someone who puts all of his faith in advisors, but you need someone who can make a decision and stick with it. A quick thinker, make that decision. And I think we've got that with Trump. He ain't perfect, but nobody is. And you'll never find a president, you know. I mean, in the White House the other day, they had that idiot Ted Nugent, Sarah Palin, Kid Rock, and I don't know, somebody else, whatever. A picture of them all in the Oval Office, right? And these liberals were out there commenting, you know. You know, have you ever seen something more disgusting in the Oval Office? Oh, imagine the disrespect of the Oval Office. And then the other Michael Angley, there's a few of us, where we're all connected. You know, the Michael Angley who was the colonel at Special Operations in Kadena, right? All that station there. And he also worked for the Treasury Department or whatever. So he's the real hardcore government Michael Angley. You know, he writes books and whatever and all that too, man. Very political. But he came out on my page when I posted this thing, and he was like, I seem to remember there was a president in there that had oral sex and also penetrated a girl with a cigar case. I said, I think that was the most disrespectful and disgusting thing that ever happened in the Oval Office. Very true. It is. And while I don't like Ted Nugent, Kid Rock I could care less about. I think he is what he is. I think Kid Rock was a bet between two record producers, where one said, I bet I could make him famous, and the other one said, I bet you can't. And they put this guy forward with all kinds of advertising money, ads, and whatever. I mean, basically that machine could put anybody forward and then make you famous and make people buy your stuff, because people are that much of sheeple that they're just being led to the slaughter. They'll just buy whatever TV tells them to buy, you know? Anyway, Kid Rock was there. And Sarah Palin, everybody's favorite famous white trash, Sarah Palin. I don't like Sarah Palin at all. I have nothing nice to say about her. I don't like her, her family. I don't like that. I mean, you know, I can say that. I have my opinion. There's nothing that I didn't want her anywhere near the Trump administration. People feared he was going to give her a job. But thank God he didn't, right? And she's out there, whatever. Everybody's an individual. Maybe I judge people too harshly, but I'm talking about for me, you know? I mean, I try to think, you know, at the end of each day, I like to reflect. And then in that reflection, I think about, is there anything during the day that I could have done differently or said differently? Any regrets or anything that I could reflect on that was really good that I could make better, you know? That type of thing. Just a self-improvement, you know? Self-improvement software in my brain. And then I know that I can say anything about Sarah Palin and I'll be right. I can't stand her. I think that she's everything wrong with this country, that mentality. You know, I mean, part of what she says is right, but even a broken clock is right twice a day. You know what I mean? But Kid Rock, he just is what he is. I think he's more of a victim than anything. And Ted Nugent, I don't like it all. I never had time for Ted Nugent. I never thought he was a great musician. I really didn't care. You know, I think the guy is another person who's just an extremist. And I think that's the best word. I don't like extremists, man. I mean, who can hang out with someone like that? I'm middle of the road. You guys have heard me rant about conservative stuff, about liberal stuff. I think that I'm like most Americans, that I just want to be treated fairly. I don't want the government to take advantage of me, and I want them to make good choices because I vote them in to make good choices, you know? And they take a lot of our money, and they should spend it wisely and not waste it, not throw it away. You know, I mean, Obama had this blank check mentality and just started all these entitlement programs. You know, so far, Trump has cut like $90 billion from just government red tape. $90 billion a year. $90 billion a year. It's crazy. People are, oh, we're losing our programs. We're losing all of our programs. I see my friends. I only have a couple hardcore liberal friends from school back in the day, and you can't get rid of people like that, you know. And you, I accept people for what they are, too. You know, if you have an idea, it's not my job to change you. You know, if you have a statement to make, the only thing I can say to you is do your research. Know what I know, because I do my research. And I don't look for conservative publications. I don't look for liberal publications. I look for what goes on, what people actually say. During the election with Trump, people are like, did you hear what Trump said? Did you hear what he said now? And then I go look at the YouTube clip of what Trump said to begin with. And then I'm like, you know, he didn't say that. They took it the wrong way or whatever. They presented it. The media presented it the way they wanted to sell you on something. You're being duped. You're being bamboozled. You're being controlled by millionaire media, right? So, before we run out of time, I want to talk about millionaire media. Bill O'Reilly. I am not a fan of Bill O'Reilly. I don't watch his show. But if I'm flipping around in the rare occasion, and that's if I ever watch TV, that's what I do. If I'm not watching The Walking Dead, which is only on like 4 months out of here, whatever, and I've kind of lost my interest in that now, and I'm not really watching anything. The Weather Channel, stuff like that, and then I just, you know, will have the TV on for like 25 minutes to get up and walk away. I get all my media and all my, I get my information through the internet, through reliable media sources that I like and trust. And then I cross those stories against others to see if they're right, you know? Anyway, so if I'm flipping around, I see Bill O'Reilly, I'll stop. I'll listen to what he has to say. Usually it's some claptrap stuff I'm not interested in. He's definitely conservative. He definitely has a point of view. He used to yell and scream, and then he stopped. I think that was part of his charm back in the day, a little yelling and screaming. But, you know, he... Let's say that he built Fox. He built Fox. He was the number one guy. He has been there since the 90s. He had so much power because, you know, he was the number one anchor. He was the one everyone looked to anyway, right? And nobody could beat him. All these other channels, CNN or whatever, nobody could beat Bill O'Reilly. So 3 million people watch his show every night that he's on in that 8 o'clock time slot, right? And then he gets, you know, dragged into this thing where he made sexual comments to different women who he worked with over the course of these years. So at the time they came forward, oh, he sexually harassed me. And let's start by saying the sexual harassment thing has gone way too far. You know, I mean, there are people who actually get sexually harassed. What he said and the things that I've read of what he said to these women, I wouldn't consider that sexual harassment. Maybe piggish? A little piggery? Yeah, sure. And those guys at that age group are like that. They can be like that because they think they're funny. They tell an off-color joke or something, right? But this dude, bang, they fill out a sexual harassment form, sue Fox. Fox doesn't want to go into court and get dragged through court and do all that, right? Send a letter to court, give the woman $2 million to go away. $2 million. It would cost them more lawyer fees than what that is. So then one woman does that. Another woman says, hey, I could do the same thing. Another one, oh, hey, I could do the same thing. Okay. But he's not, you know, he didn't rape anybody. He didn't molest anybody. He's not a sexual predator. The women, after they fired him, were out in the street outside Fox passing out pamphlets with his face on it, saying Bill O'Reilly is a sexual predator. Now, these people that were out there were not fans of Fox. They don't watch Fox. They don't care about Fox. They are extreme liberals who targeted advertisers on Fox and got some of those advertisers to pull out of O'Reilly's show. But his audience spiked. It went all the way up because people support him. Then he goes on vacation. He swore up and down. It wasn't anything about the vacation. He planned it in October. And then while he's on vacation, they say, you're fired. You know? And then don't even come back to the building. You're not allowed back in the building. We don't want you here. And you can't say goodbye to your fans, right? After all those years. So now me, I don't like Fox. I never did. You know what I mean? There's people that are watching an interview. Tucker Carlson, he's all right, but he's another guy. He's kind of extreme. They're all conservative. It's not like you have some middle-of-the-road host. It's about, and having somebody coming in and interviewing them, it's about the guest and not you and your ideas. So if you're going to come on my show, you're my guest, I'm not going to attack you and push my agenda. I'm going to ask you questions as an interviewer and get information out of you, you know? But to attack people is just wrong and it's ugly. They all do it, CNN and MSNBC, you see Chris Matthews, they all do it. And you have to be good enough to withstand that attack. But Bill O'Reilly also did stuff like that, right? And then later on in years, he kind of settled into a lighter, a more moderate position, I'll say, in his political beliefs, right? He just went through a horrible divorce. I know that was bad for him. So I don't feel bad for him necessarily, mainly because I think that he just signed a 5-year contract with Fox for $21 million a year, and they have to honor that contract, you know? And I think that Fox just killed themselves. I think that he's going to watch that ship go down because Tucker Carlson, and then now people are saying they're trying to go after Sean Hannity, and other people are saying that Murdoch's son is actually very liberal and wants to move the station into more of a liberal direction. All of these things are being said. All I know that I wouldn't cut the throat of my number one draw, my number one anchor, unless I had to. And in my opinion, unless there's stuff going on that I don't know about, that all of us don't know about, they didn't have to. And Bill O'Reilly says that these claims are unfounded. He maintains his innocence. So you have a guy who maintains his innocence and never been found guilty of any stuff like this, of making comments to people. And I don't know who the victim is, you know? Even if you say to a woman, hey, you know, use your vibrator for that, you know? I mean, every woman's got a vibrator. That's supposedly what he said, joking around with one of the staff who he worked with for a while. And she wrote that down as sexual harassment. Is that sexual harassment? I mean, and who's the victim? And what? How did they suffer? They had lifelong suffering, you know? They can't sleep at night. You know, they can't function. She got $2 million for it, right? So I read a report just earlier today on how guys in college in the United States are not buying girls drinks anymore. They're not going to bars. They're not taking girls out to dinner and even and spending money on them at all. Are buying them drinks. Why, you ask? Because in college campuses, which are predominantly women now, all liberal, in college campuses, there's a rape culture going on, and then there's a witch hunt. So you've seen story after story about these girls getting drunk, and then so they allegedly get raped by the guy who's drunk with them. The guy, and all they got to do is say rape, and those cops will come in and arrest the guy and drag his name through the mud, whether he's guilty or not. You're already guilty before you're found guilty in a situation like that. So there's a rape culture and a witch hunt. They are looking for that. So one guy sums it up like this. I don't make eye contact with women on campus. I don't buy them beers. I don't date girls on campus. I don't stand too close to them. I don't look at them. I don't walk too far from them. He had like this laundry list of stuff that he doesn't do around women because he's afraid of being accused of anything. He has paranoid. Or is it? He said he wants to go on to medical school. He wants to have a career. He doesn't need something on his record. I have a friend that went through this. And the whole time, I was telling him, all right, so like he goes on a trip down to Maryland. He's going to college up here in Ithaca. Young guy. At that point, I think he was like 21, 22. So he's going down to Maryland with a whole bunch of people from the school for some kind of thing that they're doing, right? They're sitting there getting high, smoking weed, drinking, in the hotel room. And then this girl was really into him. And she was into him when she wasn't drinking and getting high. So, he actually said it was late and he wanted to go to sleep and this girl wanted to hang out and play. And then, of course he went for it, right? They did it. They had sex, all that. The girl's friend, this other girl that was with her, wanted to leave. She kept saying, I want to go. I want to leave. I want to leave. And then they went off in the room and she got really mad. She calls campus police. Oh, she called the police, not campus, because they were in the hotel. She calls the police and says, my friend's getting raped. Right? The police show up. They knock on the door. They're both in there. He's barely conscious awake. They did their deeds already. The girl was passed out. She was sleeping. They come in. They see that. They arrest him and then take him down to the jail. And they went with that the whole time. Like, they charged him with rape and raping this girl. The girl wakes up the next day, and the police said, what happened? She's like, well, I don't know. I was partying with a guy, and we were having a lot of fun, and, I got a little too drunk and messed up. And the cop's like, well, do you remember anything happening? And she's like, not really. I don't remember anything happening, But she said that she would have slept with him, so there's no issue. But the friend said that she was raped. So they stacked this up against him, and they really gave him no choice but the plea bargain, And I told him not to, man. I said, fight it, fight it, fight it. Do whatever you have to do. And I will tell anybody out there, if you are innocent of a crime, you fight. You fight. You don't plea bargain. You don't take any kind of deal. He took a deal. He ended up getting kicked out of college up here. He lost all that money that he put into college, and then he was labeled a rapist on campus. He could never go back there. Now, this girl's friend destroyed this guy's life, for that time anyway, for that time being. So this is why that guy's afraid to buy girls drinks. This is why people are afraid. And it used to be back in the day. You go to a club, you drink, and it was ladies' nights. And the clubs that I worked at when I was young, man, we always had free drinks for ladies' nights because you knew the guys were going to come in. They were going to come in and meet girls, and those guys didn't have to buy them drinks all night long. So now men are not buying women drinks anymore. They're afraid to. Even one, so good. Women could buy their own drinks. Ah, really? That's against their DNA, number one. But number two, when it comes down to that, it doesn't matter. Because even if they're buying their own booze and you get drunk with them, if you give them a kiss or put your arms around them, have sex with them or whatever, they could still allege that they didn't give you permission to do it. It's like you got to get written permission. You meet a girl at a bar. Here, I have this legal form you got to fill out. This guy with me, he's my lawyer, He wants to make sure that we do it right. In fact, he's going to put the condom on me so I have plausible deniability. Okay, in case it fails. You know what I mean? He's going to notarize it. He's going to notarize the letter. Is that really what it comes down to? That people are that afraid to mix and match because they don't want anything alleged against them. So, look at Rolling Stone. And look at Rolling Stone's rape story. That was a lie. All fake. Fabricated completely. 100%. They got sued. They had to pay big bucks. But that's the deal, because there are people out there that want to hear it. The people out there that will feed that story. And then it's a shame that if you're in college now, you're afraid of looking at some girl because it's going to ruin your life. That's damn shame. But women better take notice, because they're the ones who are going to suffer ultimately, you know? And then, man, this gentrification, the gentrification of America that's going on has taken so much away from men, and now they pound and pound harder. The feminists out there, they want to do away with men altogether. You know, if they could, they would. You hear their rallies, you see them talk, and all this crap that comes out of their mouths. You know, they don't even understand what they're saying. So, how about this? Statistically so, 69% of women can't sleep at night because of money problems. 64% of men, right? Men, 80% of men commit suicide. Well, 80% of suicides are men. We'll put it that way, we'll rephrase it. Right? 80%. So if you think about how men are being shoved into the ditch, left out, staked down to the crows, especially white men, in this country, because now, oh man, we see attacks on white men. There was a guy in Fresno last week who killed a whole bunch of white guys because he wanted to. Do you know how long it took anybody to call that a hate crime? Do you know that CNN still hasn't called it a hate crime? There was another guy, a black guy, who shot an elderly black man and then went on a spree. They were looking for him in Ohio. They said he was a dark-skinned white male. That's how they described him. He was black. So the media is afraid to say things. The chilling effect has happened. People are afraid, you know? And it just gets weirder every day and crazier every day. And the people losing their free speech. You got Google telling people what to say, and YouTube that you can't, if you have a show, you want to monetize it, you can't talk about religion or war or violence or, you know, no curse words. When did they become the gatekeeper? When did they become the Constitution? When did they become the First Amendment? And then we're able to change it around and say, well, we're going to be the gatekeepers of the First Amendment. You know? But they say, well, we're a private company. We don't have to obey the Constitution. You operate within the United States of America, and if you do that, you have to obey our laws, and that Constitution is our laws. This is why there needs to be class action lawsuits against Google and Facebook and a whole slew of them, because they are against people's rights. And what they do is against the law. It's against the law. They're not allowed to deny you, because these are public entities, man. The public can use it, right? So just like if you walk into a cake shop, that person can't say, if you're gay, I'm going to refuse you. You think that prejudice is any different of saying, well, I don't want you talking conservative stuff on Facebook, so we're going to make algorithms that are going to look for the things that you say and get rid of it, and not promote what you say. Oh, if you say things about liberals, we'll promote that. So Facebook, Google, all of them, pushing an agenda. An agenda that hurts people. I know a lot of people are fed up with that. A lot of people fed up with it. And then you have a lot of millennials out there who, you know, they just want everything on a silver platter, and it's all me. They got no empathy or no emotion for anybody else. I mean, only a small percentage of them have their heads screwed on right. And then I read a report where 18 to 34-year-old millennials, half of them in some states, are living with their mother and father. living at home with no job. You know? States like New York, California, New Jersey, Connecticut. Expensive getting your own place. But they're not going to have roommates. No one's going to put up with that. And a lot of these guys are solely unrealistic. And when I talk to them, they don't know anything. You know, I love it. Because you can say something, they'll argue with you. Or what do you base your argument in? Because as soon as somebody argues with you, I'll teach you a lesson about liberals, man. They're like dealing with little children who are irrational, angry little kids. You just took their lollipop away. And they're freaking out. And they're not going to listen to any kind of nothing. The only thing they'll listen to is spanking, right? And they know that you'd get. But I'll tell you something about liberals. When they say something, they argue with you. You say something that comes from information that you have that you know 100% sure what you're talking about. They'll argue with you. Okay, what do you base your argument in? What's your evidence? Oh, well, it's just what I think. Well, it doesn't matter what you think. You know, you can make up all kinds of stuff in your brain. I'm talking about your evidence and what we know, right? Just like Hernandez. When he just, this guy Hernandez, who was a football player who just hung himself the other day, he was in prison for murder and for life. And last week, he was just acquitted for a double murder. You know? So that's the guy you want in your house necessarily, right? He hangs himself in his jail cell. He barricades the door, takes his blanket, rips it up, makes it into a makeshift noose, and hangs himself, right? Immediately, well, so one of my friends posted on Facebook, immediately a guy that she knows jumps out. I don't think he did. I think the guards did it. And I'm like, did you even read the story? Did you even see the part where the guy barricaded the door and he hung himself? You know, he was in there by himself, barricaded the door, maximum security, inside. You can't barricade a door and leave, right? The whole point of barricading the door is that you don't want someone to come in. Anyway, I said, what do you base your evidence in? Oh, I just think, so you're going to put those guards out there in that prison who work very hard. There's prison guards, I know prison guards. They work very hard. It's a hard job, man. They never know what they're going to face on a daily basis. And they work very hard at what they do. And it's very trying and emotional for them, you know? So I said, you're going to blame those guards. You're going to blame the prison. You're going to blame the warden for what this schmuck did. And based in no evidence whatsoever. So the guy's like, asshole. You know what I mean? You know you hit pay dirt when you get name-called by a liberal on the first response. You know you got them in checkmate, and then that's the only thing that they can say is call you an asshole. You know? Name-call. Get into name-call or mockery. You know? You know what I mean? Like, whatever dumb crap they get into. And at the same time, you know that you can't put these people in charge in a political position to make decisions for other people because they are not capable of making decisions because their emotional capacity is so small. It's like dumping a gallon into a shot glass. You ain't going to do it. This is the problem with the DNC. This is the problem with the whole damn Democratic Party now, where it used to be middle-of-the-road people. For the working people, and then year after year, money got in, big money, huge money got in there, took control of all of them. Then the Hillary Clinton with her hand out, they floated Bernie Sanders. I saw a Bernie sign on a barn the other day. I'm driving down the street, big Bernie sign. Burn, they painted the whole barn. Feel the burn. I think that the election's over. I think that Bernie's done.
Feel the burn.
But feel the burn. If you think, I think there's a cream for that. If you think that that guy was going to represent people, you don't know, because he wasn't. He is a socialist, and the worst kind. You know, I straight up pinko. This dude would have given away the whole show with entitlements and the whole bit, would have bankrupted our country. So people should be happy at least Trump's in there with jobs coming back and he's making some good decisions. And I said this early on, that if Trump started doing good, the liberals will never say he's doing good. They'll say, well, these are the things that Obama set up. So he's just, you know, milking that. And that's what's happening now. Oh, Obama set these things up. So, yeah, okay, Obama, 8 years of hell. And people divided. So at least we got to fix that. Anyway, I'm going to end the show. This is Michael Angley Live telling you people out there to watch your ass.
Where we're going? Where we're going?
What? We're going.
Invested by Martians or something? What did I miss?
No, oh, actually, man, I gotta get up.
Yes, guys. This I was just breaking in for a second here to torture Michael for a minute. But also there was a little breaking news while y'all were talking, and I didn't hear you say it, so I thought I'd bring it up right quick. You know, you know they're going after WikiLeaks, right? They're trying to get to WikiLeaks.
They're trying to charge them.
Yeah. This guy's got the biggest balls of anybody ever seen. So they're threatening to go after him, doing all kind of harm. So what does he do today? Releases a bunch of crap on the CIA. I was like, get out of here, man. I don't believe you just did that.
He's taking everybody down.
they should think about that before they let all this go. But I just wanted to mention that before you went off. I was like, damn, that is crazy. Oh. And while I'm here,
they have elections in Ecuador, so he may not be able to stay where he is. So if he gets kicked out, man, he's going to be done, right?
I know. Well, hopefully not. Hopefully he'll get to stay there and torture the people for a little while longer.
As a prisoner, anyway.
Yeah, he is. I mean, basically, he is serving prison. They can't go anywhere. It's a cage, but still, it's a cage. I mean, come on, let's be honest about it. I thought Will and Ben was following you up tonight, but I don't see him anywhere. Will, Ben, are you listening to United Public Radio with Michael Angler, or are you just off in fairyland smoking some fairy dust?
They're on the West Coast, man. They're hiding from Kim Jong-un.
Ooh, that's right. You got them nuclear subs parked off the coast of Arizona. No one write to me about that last comment, please. Because if you can't tell us, kid, don't worry about it. Anyway, I'll let Michael close out, and I'm going to shut up now and go back to my hole in the wall.
All right, so this is Michael Angley Live on United Public Radio Network, UPRNTalkRadio.com, 107.5 New Orleans, 104.7, Pastor Christiane saying adios, muchachos.